The sermon this morning, Psalm 116, that's verses 1 through 9, that would be our A selection in the Psalter. This is our Psalm of the month. A bit on the topic of having a Psalm of the month, it was something that the session worked out together so that each of us would have the opportunity to practice the psalm in the assembly and to work on memorizing it. This September, we will have successfully done it for a year. We'll have worked from September to September, so we'll have 12 psalms that we have all sung a dozen times at least, hopefully more than that. With that, we're going to publish a booklet that'll have the sermon notes opposite the music on the one side, that will have a booklet personally as individuals and as families that'll be psalms that each of us know or at least are very familiar with. When I was in the hospital with my injury and Leslie had to leave to go get the kids, as if I have kids anymore, left to go get the kids, I was laying there and I was looking around and there was a drawer and I was wishing I could reach across to see if there was a Gideon's Bible in there. And I couldn't get up and I couldn't reach it. And as I laid there, I began to minister to my own heart by just humming a psalm. And then I realized I knew the words to that psalm. And I was able to lay there and sing the psalm to myself, not having a psalter. It is a beautiful blessing to have the word written on our hearts in a way that we can sing. So I invite you, and you see in your handout this week, on the back of it, it has the music as well, for you to practice memorizing what we would call the metrical translation of the Psalter, that we would have the word written on our heart, that we can worship the Lord wherever we are. I remind you when Paul was in prison, and it was dark when he was in prison, he was able to sit there in the dark and sing a psalm, because it had been written on his heart. So, with that in mind, we come to Psalm 116, a psalm for our encouragement and our blessing and our instruction. Psalm 116, starting with verse 1. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. We look and we see the heart of Christ. As Christ came into this world, as Christ walked this world, he was subjected to the futility of this world as he participated in all the miseries of this life, being born in a low estate, being placed under the law, being dealing with the torment and the taunts of men, even the torture of the cross and the grave for a period of time. We look and we see this idea, the cords of death encompassed me, the terrors of Sheol came upon me. You have that too. You have these entanglements. You have these snares. You have these torments of your soul. This morning I call upon you to stop and to look at them, to recognize them as a part of the reality of living in a fallen world. Some of us, probably all of us at various times, are so self-medicated that we can just skip through and we can ignore our injuries. We can ignore our pains. We can ignore our sin and our self-inflicted wounds as we live. But we see here that we are to turn and to look at them directly, and we're to direct our hearts in accordance with what Christ has done for us And what he is doing us forever, we see the true medication, medication that doesn't mask the pain, but medication that answers the pain. Medication that truly heals us. And we see the beautiful place that looking at this reality brings us. And I call you to that place this morning, to love and to walk before the Lord. Our first step is love the Lord because he hears you in Christ. Verse 1 makes this statement clearly. I love the Lord. Why? Because he hears my voice and my supplication. One of the great pains in marriage is the inability to communicate. My wife and I, we can be in the same room. She can speak to me, and I very well may not be able to comprehend what she is saying. I sometimes inappropriately scoff when she tries to speak to me from a different room or from a different floor in the house. I say, I can't hardly hear your voice when we are in the same room. I won't be able to discern what you're saying when you're in a different room, let alone on another floor. And there's a pain and a sorrow in not being heard. There's a pain and a sorrow in not being understood. You know it. You know what it's like to be ignored. You know what it's like to be rejected. The scriptural word that we translate sometimes hate or despise, you can take that and it also could just be to think small of. You know what it's like to be thought small of or ignored, not loved, not cherished. The psalmist comes and he amps this up. He revs it up. He says, I love the Lord. And he brings it to a specific place of intimacy because he hears my voice. It's not just speaking in terms of, well, you know everything. You know what I would say. You know what my prayer is. You know what my prayer would be. It actually says intimately, you hear the sound of my voice. I set that before you for an encouragement that the God of heaven and earth hears you even when the person next to you in the same house as you or on the same floor or maybe even in the same room doesn't hear you. I love the Lord because he hears the sound of my voice. This intimacy goes even further. We sang in the other psalm. He hears you while you lay on your bed. He is there in that most intimate place, in your bed with you. It goes even a step further in Psalm 139. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. We see he not only hears the sound of your voice, he hears the sound of your heart. He hears the sound of your soul. He recognizes it. He knows it. He is that near. He knows your heart so well. In John 2:25, speaking of Christ, it says, he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning any man, for he himself knew what was in a man. He is that present with you, knowing your full heart, but he also wants to hear the sound of your voice. He says, speak to me. I am listening. Speak to me. I care. And because he made you and designed you, he knows that's something you really want. That is something that you actually care about, to the extent that you would say, because you listen to the sound of my voice, I love you. This is a need of your heart. He knows that. He answers that for you. He is that beautiful, that loving, that gracious. That the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice. Now, this isn't in your outline. I've had to revise it a little bit. You can call this 1B if you're a note taker. I'm going to put some heaviness on you now, a wave of pain, a wave of fear, a wave of death. This step 1B that's not in your outline is remember the terror of sin, death, and hell. Where does our comfort come from, or why do we need comfort? If someone came to me and they said, I want to sew on your leg, I would say, stop. I'd rather you not. If they saw the gaping wound, or I was aware of a gaping wound in my leg, I would be more inclined to say, go ahead. The fear, the terror of sin, death, and hell. Here we see the statement in verse 8 here, you have rescued my soul from death. In verse 3, it states it this way, the cords of death encompassed me. The terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Just take a second. What are you afraid of? What makes you scared? What puts a feeling of dread and weight on your heart? Each of us have things. Each of us are afraid of different things. I'm simply afraid of being weak. You see the stupid things that I do to keep from being weak. I feel a need to be strong. Some of us are claustrophobic. If you're claustrophobic, go ahead and embrace that fear for a moment and think in these terms, the cords of death encompassed me. Takes it a step further. The terrors of Sheol came upon me. This being stuffed into a grave. Go ahead and be afraid of that for a moment and embrace the reality of that threat on all people. What are you afraid of? Look it full in the eye for this moment. Here, as that is placed there, as we'd even be afraid of dying, we see that we are all put in a place of death. This is in your outline. Genesis 2:17. The command was given to our father. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Take that in for a moment and think of the grave. Think of the coffin. Think of being buried. Death is supposed to be scary. This is supposed to be heavy on us. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point, he has become guilty of all. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, every soul belongs to me, says the Father. The Father as well as the Son. The soul who sins is the one who will die. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Feel the weight. Feel the weight. Look at the sin. Look at the wages of sin. Look at the grave, the hole in the ground, the coffin. Bear it. Bear it for a moment. We're putting off our self-medication. We're putting off our aimless distraction to keep ourselves away from this weight and to keep ourselves away from this fear. And we see the beautiful place that we are brought to in Christ. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:20 shows us that we are even able to speak now in life and in Christ as we would pray to him. For as many as the promises of God are in him, that is in Christ, the answer is yes. Therefore, through him also is our amen to the glory of God. See, being brought from death to life in Philippians 1:1 as we are called saints in Christ. We see the beautiful answer in verse 2, for the misery of pain and sin and death, because he has inclined to me his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. We remember Romans 10:13, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall live. We see terror and death and salvation and rescue placed here. Now this salvation, how does it work? What is accomplished? Our second step is be blessed in the simplicity of Christ's salvation. You are blessed you who are calling on the name of the Lord. You are rescued. Verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. I once asked my father if I was a happy child, and he said, oh yeah, happy as a lark. Just as happy as if you had good sense. This idea of being happy in a simplicity. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be something that we can understand to its very depths. Happy, blessed in the simplicity of our salvation. The Lord preserves the simple. Now your salvation, in what sense is it simple? It's simple for you. But this entangling, as it's described, this cords of death, is very complicated to untangle. It's very difficult to untangle. If you've ever lived with a woman, you know what it's like to take a necklace that's tangled up in knots and to try to untangle it. We would look at that and say, it's a thing I want to do. I want to accomplish this. Sometimes it's hard, maybe even impossible. This entangling, simple for you, your salvation, simple for you. But this untangling, as we would look and consider God's holiness, as we see in verse 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is compassionate. How can he be gracious and righteous at the same time? You try it. You try to be holy and perfect and gracious and compassionate at the same time. Try administering church discipline. Try to be righteous and just and gracious at the same time. Try pulling it off for an entire humanity. Being righteous and being gracious and compassionate at the same time. This untangling. His love for you, him loving you and still needing to deal with his sin. This untangling for him, it required a 33-year time period where the eternal God was born in time. Think of the way Christ described his time with man when he looked at the disciples and said, how long? How long must I put up with you? As the eternal God looked like his patience were being tested. Being born in a low estate, being subjected to the law, being subjected to the miseries of this life, the excruciating death on the cross, and remaining under the power of sin for a time, is what it took to untangle your cords of death. What it took to untangle, figuring out how to accomplish justice and grace at the same time. This is what Christ did for you. We see in verse 3 again, the cords of death encompassed me. The terrors of Sheol, either the grave or hell, the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And we can imagine Christ calling on the name of the Lord. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Oh Lord, I beseech you, save my life. You and I, as we follow Christ, we come into that place where we call on the name of the Lord. We see in verse 2, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live, because he preserves us in the simplicity, a salvation that's easy for you, that's simple for you. What does it require? You to trust in Christ's death, his resurrection, to trust in that salvation. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. The cords of death encompassed me. Think back to your fear, and a greater fear is the grave. And the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. And there he is in his perfection in verse 5. His graciousness towards you. Gracious is the Lord. In his righteousness in Christ and towards Christ as he was crucified. And we answer this as we see our own salvation with that second part of verse 5. And we can say, yes, our God is compassionate. righteous, gracious, and compassionate. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. So, our third step is direct your soul to peace. Verse 7. And I've enjoyed using this verse in counseling quite a bit. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I use this in my use this currently in my personal counseling. I will lay on my bed in torment and in fear, in sorrow, and I will speak to my own heart, return to your rest, O my soul, because the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, because He is gracious and just, and He is compassionate. Now, this, our next, listen to this, and this is harsh. Go ahead and take the harshness for a moment, and then let's work on it together. I'm going to ask you, where do you get the rest for your soul? Is it from stuff? Is it from things? Things that won't last. Things that don't really help. Things that don't really heal. Where do you get the rest from your soul? Now, as I say that, I'm not condemning you in this moment. I'm not saying, look at you, aha, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you don't really trust in Christ. It will be a process for the entire life that you have, learning to find your rest and your peace, less and less in stuff and things, and more in Christ. So rather than tripping you right now or condemning you right now, I'm just inviting you to take a look and to make an adjustment. That's all. To figure out how to do it in a better way. And by a better way, I mean a way that will be beneficial to you, that will actually be healing to you. Not masking a pain, as sometimes we might do with ibuprofen, rather than really fixing the injury, but really healing it as we turn to Christ. So this peace that we would be moving to, we read John 14 where we're directed, do not let your hearts be troubled, where we tell ourselves, do not let yourself be anxious. In John 14, 27 then, Jesus speaks to us and gives us this instruction, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Those fears that you have, when are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Will Christ bless you? Will He heal you? Has He already given you everything that you need for your blessing and your healing and your encouragement? What are our self-medications? What are the things that we're running to rather than to Christ? I invite you to look at the testimony in the law, to look at your steps, and to make your adjustments. Our next step is standing in this beautiful place in Christ. We see that the psalmist is actively announcing his love and actively committing his steps to the Lord. This step is announce your love and commit to the Lord. Verse 1, he has made this statement, I love the Lord. As he reviews his own sin, the guilt that's on him, the shackles, the ropes that would be dragging him down to hell, he looks and he sees his sin. He looks and he sees justice. He looks and he sees God's holiness. He looks and he sees the salvation that is by faith through Christ. And he looks and makes a loving commitment to the Lord. I shall, in verse 9, he says, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This is a beautiful place to stand, to make your stand. It is a beautiful place to be. Now, here is a place, again, to look at our hearts and to look at our lives and to look at our testimony and see what it is in the world. Do you make this statement? Would it be right to do so? To say in the midst of the world, I am different and I do the things that I do because I love the Lord. Because he saved me. It's perfect. It's perfect. I shine differently. I work differently. I love differently. I keep the days of the week differently. I worship, and my worship isn't based on me. Why do I worship the way I do? Because I love the Lord. Because he heard the voice of my crying and my supplication. Because I was entangled by death's strong cords, by sin and misery and death, and I called upon the name of the Lord, and he answered me. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, and holy, and compassionate. I was brought low, and he saved me. He lifted me from the grave. Therefore, I call upon the name of the Lord as long as I live, and I will walk before him all the days of my life. Is that the reality of your life? Is that the reality of your eternity? We can speak to our hearts and say, do not be fearful. Do not be anxious. Return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I point you to Christ. I point you to life and light and peace. I invite you to profess your love for Christ and to walk before him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the perfect salvation. The salvation that is yours. The salvation that is a gift given to us. I thank you. We thank you together for hearing the voice of our cry and our supplication. We thank you together. And we commit ourselves to walking before you as long as we will live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.